It was a surprise for a lot of people. It was also a surprise for pollsters who had, for the most part, called the election for Hillary Clinton by about 3 or 4 points. Now, Clinton did end up winning the popular vote by about 1%, so not a big difference between the prediction and the outcome, but enough of a difference to make the difference on the state level, and some state level polls weren't as accurate as the national race was. So that's a question that we're going to have going forward. Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling was with us on the air all night long last night when we were doing our election night coverage until 11 p.m. The work goes on for Tom Jensen for Public Policy Polling, and he joins us now on the phone. Thanks for being here with us today. And Tom, thanks for being with us all night last night.
Sure, glad to.
And what are your initial thoughts about the 2016 election? I know a lot of people have questions about the final polls versus the actual outcome. What were your thoughts about that when the numbers were coming in?
Yeah, I think a couple things happened to sort of explain the disparity. One is that it seems clear that African American turnout and turnout from younger voters just was not for Hillary Clinton what it was for Barack Obama. And even within those groups, among people who turned out, it was not as unanimous as it had been. It looks like Donald Trump actually won like 13 or 14% of the black vote nationally, whereas that was more like 2 or 3% for Republicans against Barack Obama. And that's a dynamic that I think pollsters missed for the most part. They didn't have Donald Trump getting that kind of support with African Americans. So I think part of it is sort of who didn't turn out, which was certainly the groups that were strong for Democrats in 08 and 12 just didn't turn out in the way last night that they had before. The other thing is that Donald Trump clearly won white voters by a much more substantial margin than polls had him winning them by. It's not that polls necessarily had the wrong percentage of white voters, but where polls on average found Donald Trump winning by white with white voters by 13 points, it appears based on the exit polling and the results of the election that Trump actually won white voters by 21 points. And that leads to an interesting question of why. I mean, you know, the what about the polls is that they underestimated Trump with white voters, and that's what allowed him to win states like Michigan and Wisconsin and Pennsylvania that he wasn't expected to win. The why is the bigger question. Were there Trump voters who were resistant to answering polls, who weren't honest about who they were voting for? Were the white voters who were polled just more educated than the white population as a whole? Because you see a big educational divide in terms of how white voters went. More educated ones were more likely to be for Clinton. Less educated ones were more likely to be for Trump. We don't really know the answer to that yet, but that's sort of the preliminary thoughts about what might have happened.
And that difference between the 13-point lead for Trump among whites in the polls versus the 21 points in the final outcome, is that nationally or is that more concentrated in those Rust Belt states that Trump ended up winning, the Michigan, the Wisconsin, the Pennsylvania, where you've got a very specific economic situation there? Manufacturing jobs have been flying out of those states and unemployment and economic troubles have been going on for a long time, where people might react differently at the polls than they would in other parts of the country? Or was that a national thing?
It was a national thing, but you think about states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Each of those states, the electorate, somewhere between 80 and 85% white.
Mm-hmm.
So if the polls underestimated Trump's share of the white vote by 8 points in a state where 80% of the vote's white, that's going to make a 6-point difference in terms of your poll. And really what we saw in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania is that Hillary Clinton was up by about 4 or 5 points in the polls, ended up losing by about 1 point. Your difference there is these white voters being even more Republican voting than we expected. We saw something similar in Ohio. There, Hillary Clinton was only down by 1 or 2 points in the polls and ended up losing by 8. And that's another one of those Midwestern states where the white voters were much more conservative than they had been expected to be. So that's definitely the dynamic that happened. And one thing that's complicated from the polling industry is you try to learn your lessons from mistakes you made in previous elections, and correcting those might not be the way to do better in future elections where the dynamics are different. In 2012, even though the polls generally got it right that Barack Obama won, they underestimated him by 3 points, the margin of victory. And there was a lot of talk that pollsters weren't doing a good enough job of reaching Latinos, reaching younger voters, reaching African Americans, these groups that tended to be strong for Barack Obama. So I know a lot of pollsters sort of put more of a premium on doing that as they were preparing to poll this election. And then this election, those groups didn't vote as much, and the problem was not getting a good handle on the extent to which the white vote supported Trump. So now that might be what we all try to figure out for 2020, and a whole different set of circumstances comes in. But the simple reality is that polling is harder than it's ever been. Only about 5% of people we call for a poll will actually answer it, 1 in 20 people. And that means that you end up having to do a lot of waiting to try to get a representative sample of the electorate, and sometimes that just can't fix everything to make up for having so few people answering your calls.
Speaking with Tom Jensen of Public Policy Polling, publicpolicypolling.com, as always, is their website. And Tom, you mentioned it there, the difficulty with polling, and that's something that I know has a lot of different facets. You've got a bunch of different ways to reach people. People don't have landlines anymore. People have cell phones. People respond to the internet more, or people respond via internet more than they do if they're called. People respond differently to calls from automated calls versus calls from real people picking up the phone and calling. What does this mean for just the polling industry going forward? Because this is something that we're going to continue to rely on polling for to give us some sense of where public opinion is, where elections stand. We're going to continue to do that going forward. So what has to, if anything, change about the way that polling companies go about their business in accurately measuring American public opinion?
Well, I honestly don't think there are any easy answers. I mean, the way that polling would be more accurate is if polls had much higher response rates and you were able to get a more sort of representative read of the electorate. But the trend in terms of people's willingness to answer polls is just down, down, down. So certainly, you know, I think everybody will be thinking about what we might be able to do to get more representative and accurate samples. But I think, a big picture sort of message I would have to people is remember that polls do have a margin of error of 3 or 4 points. They're not perfect, and you have to think of it. I've sort of started telling clients, you have to think of what we're telling you as more of a big picture finding than a super precise finding. If we tell a client that they're up by 4 points, like Hillary Clinton was in the race, the read of that would be it's close. It's not you're winning. It's that it's close. And I think that if people sort of thought about polls that way, they'd maybe be and I'm not criticizing people. If people want to be mad at pollsters, they're perfectly welcome to be. I certainly feel very guilty for my contribution, even though, I was just doing the best I could. I feel bad for having told people that I thought that, Clinton was going to be okay when she wasn't. But anyway, I think, if people had sort of thought of a 4-point lead as less of this is really solid for Clinton and more of this is still pretty close, people wouldn't be so shocked. And I think that maybe when you're consuming polls, you're better off thinking of it in sort of those broader terms than assuming that if somebody's up 50 to 48 in a poll, that absolutely means that they're up by 2 points. Because what we've seen in North Carolina 2 cycles in a row now, where Hillary Clinton was up by a couple points in the polls and Kay Hagan was up by a couple points in the polls, it's just not a very safe lead. If you're up by 2 points, it doesn't mean you're going to win.
Well, again, publicpolicypolling.com is the website if you want to find out more about public policy polling. Tom Jensen, thank you for joining us, not just today, but every single week through this election cycle. You've done an incredible amount of work, and that absolutely does not go unnoticed or unappreciated. So thank you so much for that. And just before we let you go, Kenny Dyke at the station wanted me to remind you, if it makes you feel better, we're 100 days away from the start of UNC baseball season as of today, so there is that as well.
Yeah, it can't be here soon enough.
All right, Tom Jensen, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.